The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
Two smashers in studio with me. Jade from Beat News and Megan from Beat's Most Wanted and The Takeover.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Good now.
Now, there's a very special reason that they're in because a new podcast from Beat 102 and 103 drops this coming Wednesday. It is called Two Girls and a Baby. And you're going to have to explain yourselves because it sounds like you've been on a bit of a baby journey.
It does. And we are aware that people are going to think we're a couple.
Yeah, they are definitely. But
we're two girls. Yeah. My name is Megan and Jade, and
we're having a baby. I'm having a baby. But we will have a baby. There will be a baby in the friendship now.
And I love your friendship, girls, I have to say, because when we started in Beat First, nearly 21 years ago, we became such a tight-knit group so quickly. And it's really lovely to see how close you became. Because it's here that you met, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We met in Beat and we've become best friends ever since.
Tied at the hip.
Do you remember the first time you talked to each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it?
I can remember it was my first week. We were in the canteen and Jade was asking me loads of questions about presenting. And like, of course, it was my first presenting role, so I didn't really know much. And I was kind of wondering, why is she asking me so much about presenting? I didn't realise she was a news journalist.
Okay.
And I thought she was much older than me as well. I was like, she's definitely older than me. She's gorgeous. All this crack. And that was our first conversation.
Older than you?
Just because she was here.
Okay.
And first off the bat, or maybe just the same age as me, but she's younger than me.
Yeah.
That was our first conversation. And then our friendship blossomed after we'd done a Mojo training course in here and we went for lunch.
And we're both very fussy eaters.
Okay.
So I hadn't brought lunch and I text Megan and I was like, do you want to get lunch together? And then she didn't see it. So I was like, I text you. And then we went to GIY, which is delicious. But if you're fussy, probably not the best.
Okay.
And we were both like, can we get this but without this and this?
And
so
then
our
bond connected there. Fussy
forever.
Eaters are very hard to come by.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, that's it, we're the same person.
Yeah.
I love that you remember that. One of my ex-colleagues and now best friend who I met here in Beat, Gail, says our first conversation was, I said to her, I stood on human poo at Electric Picnic.
Oh my god. Nothing to bond you like poo.
Yeah, that was it. No, yeah. We were best friends ever since. And just like you two, and you've decided to start a podcast because, Jade, not only are you pregnant, you are very pregnant.
I am very pregnant. I think I have 7 weeks left.
Wow.
Well, actually, it'll be probably six.
Yeah, 6 weeks by the time the podcast goes out.
Six weeks left. Unless he comes early, then I'll be 4 weeks. Or if he comes late, I'll be 8 weeks. So
what made you decide to make a podcast at this stage in your lives and your friendships?
I think we had been talking about it for so long and then we were just like, right, let's just do it.
We need to get the ball rolling. We talked, like, because we go on walks and we chat so much on the walks and we're like, you know what, it'd be good to make this into a podcast.
Mm.
And it's something we've chatted about for a while, and then this year I was like ticking off things that I want to get done and the podcast was my number one thing, and I was like, right, Jade, let's get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Then everything just fell in place from there.
Wasn't the best time to start in terms of the baby, but also it provides good content.
It does provide good content.
So are you going to record from your house in about 8 to 10 weeks' time? Is that what you're intending on doing? Giving yourself half an hour to have a chat with your bestie?
Do you know, we thought about buying mics, but then also today we were saying, I might just bring the baby in.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
And I would not complain. I was like, as much baby time as I can get, I'll want to be around the baby all the time.
And Megan, how do you feel about Jade having a baby? Do you think, you know, are you excited about it? Do you think it's going to change your friendship at all?
Yeah, I suppose this is some of the things we'll chat about in the podcast, is how our friendship has already changed in so many ways. Like, me and Jade, when Jade lived in Waterford, we'd have sleepovers every single night.
Every night. Lived with
and
you.
Then obviously that has completely changed because Jade has moved to Kilkenny. So I guess I'm so excited for Jade to have the baby. I think I cry nearly every time I think about it. No, I'm buzzing for her. And ever since I've met Jade, that's all she wanted was baby, baby, baby. Can't wait to have a baby. Megan, I want to have a baby. And I'd be like, Jade, are you sure? You know, all them kind of conversations. So I'm really excited for her. And obviously, yes, our friendship has changed. But I think we're navigating that ourselves. And I think
we're doing well.
Yeah, we are doing well.
And
yeah.
Another conversation, I suppose, is having a baby in your 20s. Because, you know, the stats are out that people are having babies older and older these days.
They are.
Do you feel like you're the young person at the hospital at the waiting?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Like, I feel like something we discuss in episode one is like making friends in your 20s. And like, I'm trying to find mom friends because nobody is my age, and like, I joined a yoga class thinking I'd find people my age having a baby, like pregnancy yoga. No one. And then in the hospital they're all a little bit older than me, which I wouldn't mind like being friends with someone older, but it's all their friends are having babies too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is. It's tough, but.
You have so much to talk about, really, don't
you? Yeah. Oh, so we much. Do. Because I don't even understand. Like, she probably doesn't understand half the stuff that I go through half the time. I don't understand what it's like to have a baby. Mm-hmm. So it's a good balance of two completely different lives, both in our 20s, both working similar jobs, mm-hmm. but both completely on completely different paths.
Oh, yeah, completely different paths. Yeah, but best friends.
Best friends, nonetheless.
It's meant to be.
And it works.
So it's every Wednesday?
Every single Wednesday.
It's called Two Girls and a Baby.
Yep.
Yeah. We won't throw your partner in there. Will we try and bring him in to chat every so often? Would he be willing to do that?
I hope so. I hope he'll come on as a guest.
We were even saying in episode one, like, he was like, we were a trio last summer.
Oh, during the summer, like, it was me and Jade, we'd be going for swims or anything like that. And it would be Reese coming along with us.
Reese will drive us. Reese will do this. Reese just joined our friendship and it was great. So, I think it'd be cool.
He is a part of our duo at times.
Yeah.
Especially during the summer last year.
Yeah. Babies.
So. Yeah, he is quite involved in this, I suppose. Yes, there wouldn't be a baby without a Reese.
Yes, no. Exactly. But he won't join you on your baby walks. I think you need to be two pals and a baby walking the streets, putting the world to rights, as you do in the podcast as well.
Yeah. We'll have him on as a guest.
Yeah, he can be a guest maybe once.
We don't want. We are the main stars.
Yeah,
here.
Of course.
So this coming Wednesday is when you can expect Two Girls and a Baby on our website, which is beat102103.com. If you just click podcast there, of course, we'll stick it up on our socials as well. So you cannot miss it. Best of luck with it, Megan and Jade.
Thank you.
Well done. 6-7 weeks to go and you're starting a brand new venture.
Not a bother on her.
No. I get loads of advice. I have so much advice for you, but I don't want to be that person who's wait until this and wait until that.
Give me all the advice I can get. Yeah, I'd love advice.
You're so excited though. It's so lovely to see how excited you are about it. It's going to be brilliant stuff. Thanks a million for coming in.
I can't wait
to listen to your podcast.
Thank you.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
April is the month of my next guest. First full-length play coming to the National Opera House in Wexford. That's where Alison Nivartine is based, and she has written Pegasus, the Clothes Horse, for children. The play includes a performance from a Waterford band as well, so a real Southeast collaboration. And Alison joins me this morning to tell me more. Hiya, Alison, and congratulations. This must be a really exciting time for you.
Thanks a million, Orly. Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm really excited now because we're in the thick of rehearsals, so it's a great time.
Wow, what a novelty as well to be in the opera house and sitting in rehearsals of your first play. It must feel like a real pinch me moment, first full length play.
Definitely, because like Pegasus the Clothes Horse, it's taken a couple of years to get to the stage because we've done a lot of development work and there's a team. So we've been collaborating a lot compared to, say, just a straight like sit down and write the script sort of project. So yeah, it's great. I'm as excited as I hope the audience will be when they come to see what's in store.
Oh, brilliant. And the audience, of course, it doesn't have to be children, but this is a play for children.
Yeah, ideally, I suppose we're saying 7 to 10-year-olds. It'll particularly appeal to that age group, but really it has a lot people will resonate with a lot of the story, and there's going to be a lot of fun elements like puppetry, shadows. There's going to be some opera, of course, because we're in the opera house. And then there's going to be some nods to trad as well, because the Flas come to Wexford. And yeah, as you mentioned, Waterford band Luna Tractors, they're going to be doing the Foley live on stage. So it's a great chance for the audience to get a sneak peek behind the magic, really, of what goes into making a play.
How brilliant. Tell us a little bit about Pegasus the Clothes Horse. What is it about?
Yeah, well, it's about a girl called Fia and her two mums, and they live with a clothes horse called Pegasus. And it's really about, you know, a sense of belonging. And I suppose growing up myself, you know, clothes horses have always been there. And during lockdown, my own children are quite young. So I suppose I started to look at clothes horses quite differently. I just thought, wow, like how lockdown, I suppose, was about trying to find sort of the beautiful in the mundane. And I don't think there's anything sort of more mundane than a clothes horse, but it can also be super magical. And I think children have the best imaginations. So that was really the seed for it.
Okay. And there's a little bit of Irish in it, did you say?
Yeah, there is. I do a lot of writing in Irish, and I've been collaborating with Superpower. So the producer, Heather Rose, she worked with Superpower, and we've worked on a lot of Irish, bilingual Irish and English stories, and I write in Irish quite a lot as well. So yeah, we have, there is an Irish language element to Pegasus, because I think it's very important, you know.
Mm-hmm. And puppets in there. Opera.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got everything going on.
Yeah. And I actually joke, it's like everything and the kitchen sink, because, spoiler alert, Luna Tractors are going to be playing a kitchen sink. So, there's literally something for everyone, for Gaelgors, for English speakers, for just, and the main thing, of course, that unites everything is that it's going to be full of fun.
Lovely stuff. Now, you have a number of school performances on the Thursday and the Friday. So schools, mm-hmm. they're arranging themselves to go to the National Opera House. Is that right?
Yeah. They can ring the box office directly. So that number is just 053-9122-144. And then we have two public performances on Saturday, April the 27th. And both of those performances are relaxed. So we wanted to make, the performances as inclusive as possible. So that means, you know, the children and the audience will be free to move. There won't be any points of pitch darkness or anything like that. So,
Okay, lovely stuff. And they're on at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturday on April 27th. And those school performances are the 25th and Friday the 26th at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. So if you're a teacher and you're interested in bringing your class along, you can contact the National Opera House. And you've written a lot of stuff in Irish in the past. Am I right in thinking that Irish is something that's very much part of your creative life, but not something that, are you from an Irish speaking family or...?
No. I grew up in Dublin, but I suppose in primary school, both my parents loved Irish, but we didn't speak it in the home. But in primary school, I had a couple of really great teachers. And then when I went to the Gaeltacht when I was in sixth class, I went to Donegal, a place called Maharorty. And I went there for a few years and I just totally fell in love with the language. So I speak as much of it as possible to my children at home, and they're going to a Gael school in Wexford and they love it. So.
And did you learn a very different Irish in Donegal then? Because we always hear about Donegal Irish being much different to the sort of Irish that we learn.
Yeah, like there are... You know, I'm sort of biased now because I suppose... Donegal Irish was my, like, I was so immersed in it. I'm very biased towards Donegal Irish because I think it's just so gorgeous. But there's different turns of phrase and things like that. But I think the meaning of the words, I don't think gets lost in translation if you're speaking to someone from Donegal, because the Irish language is so expressive anyway. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of musicality there and, you know, context and that. So, yeah. I think, Donegal Irish, yeah, there are certain expressions that are different, but I think it's fine. And I'm originally from Dublin. So even during lockdown, I was on an Irish language conversation circle in Waterford, led by Cabrini de Barra. And, you know, the Irish online is different, I suppose, than what I would have been growing up with. So, yeah, I think you can like languages are constantly evolving anyway. And I think that's the beautiful thing about them, really.
Yeah. So it's like just how we speak in different counties as well in Ireland. And so you have a percentage of Irish in Pegasus. It's not a massive amount of it, is it?
No, it's very peculiar to one part of the play.
Okay.
Because I'm I did try not to give too much of the story away. But yeah, it's very, there are different worlds created within the play, and Irish is peculiar to one of those worlds.
Good stuff.
So, yeah.
Okay, lovely stuff. It is called Pegasus, the Clothes Horse. It's on in the National Opera House, suitable for young people aged 7 to 10. And you can get more details from nationaloperahouse.ie. Alison, congratulations. May this be the first of many full-length plays that you write. And best of luck with everything.
Thanks a million, Orla.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill here on Beat 102-103, and lots of things to plan for towards the summertime, including the Ballycotton FAT, Fest of Folk and Traditional Music. It's been hosted by Sea Church in Ballycotton in East Cork over the May Bank holiday weekend, and along with a great lineup and music throughout the Ballycotton village, they're looking for buskers to take part in the weekend, and you get to perform at fairly gorgeous spots if you do busk there. John Kidney is the general manager at Sea Church in Ballycotton in East Cork, and he joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning with more details on how you can get involved. You're very welcome, John.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It took me a while to work out what FAT stood for. So it's folk and traditional.
Yeah, don't be afraid to say it. Yeah, don't be afraid to say it.
Are you calling it FAT?
Yeah, we call it FAT Fest.
Okay,
yeah. So it's folk alternative and traditional.
Oh, okay. So the FAT Fest rolls off the tongue easier than the FAT, Fest of Folk and Traditional Music, which is what I was calling it. Okay, nice one. Tell us about this, because I have been to Ballycotton many times and it is just so stunning, but it has changed a bit in the last few years. There's been lots added to it and a new venue, and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I mean, we are Sea Church. We're at the very start of the village, an old Presbyterian church converted into a restaurant and music venue, and we've been busy. We've been having fun as we're going along and creating festivals and TV shows, etc., etc. But this is our second year of FAT Fest, and it's a village-wide festival.
Lovely.
So,
and quite the lineup this year.
And quite the lineup, yeah. We've got the likes of Alton, Maya Brennan, Tara Breen, and her new ensemble, Notify, John Spillane, Bradeen, Miles Gaffney, Andrew Fletcher, who's a super talented up-and-coming young folk singer from the area. He's only 18 years of age. He's already been on the stage with Clint Hansard and Mundy and Paddy Casey and the like. So this guy's really been earmarked as the next, well, one of the next big things, you know. So we've got, it's really exciting stuff.
Brilliant stuff. And why buskers? Why do you want to bring buskers into the mix?
Why not? They're the next level, aren't they? They're the people waiting to become the next stars of the music scene. You know, everyone starts off busking. There's some serious talent out there. You know, all you need to do is just go on to TikTok or Instagram these days, and you see the amount of talent that are out there just looking for their big break. Music has really changed in the last 15, 20 years. It's all about hits and going viral, et cetera, et cetera. And there's some serious talent out there who are making a name and trying to make a name for themselves by going out in the cold, the sun, the rain, the snow, and just really trying to, you know, show people their craft.
Good stuff. And I suppose it is such an Irish thing when you see all the people who have bussed in the past, like you were saying, like the Glen Hansards and Dermot Kennedy. It is a very Irish thing, isn't it?
It is. It's huge, yeah. And it's getting picked up all over the place now. I mean, like you'd see, I mean, we've got a couple of bands coming up now in the next few months alone, like where, you know, they made their name by singing on the streets and corners of Dublin and Cork, etc. Like, you know, and now, you know, we're a small venue, like, but you know, you need to travel to get to Sea Church, you know, so it probably costs you just as much to go to the Drury Arena in Dublin, really, when you're working out the logistics of getting to a place like Ballycotton, you know.
True. But and when it comes to going viral, you know, what better location than Ballycotton if you want some lovely background?
Exactly. So we're lucky with the businesses that we run down in Ballycotton. We have access and use of the lighthouse on the island, so the big island, they call it. So there'll be an opportunity for people to play out there, which would be amazing backdrop. I mean, you have the cliffs, the car park and the cliffs. We've got some really lovely bars and venues around the village. The McGrath's, Blackbird, Cush, Schooner, just to name but a few. And we've also got, for you know, we're getting a lot of interest in it, and it's brilliant. And for the likes of not only an opportunity to busk, but we'll also offer an opportunity for a couple of paid gigs in the bars as well over the weekend as well, you know. So it should be a fine opportunity, and just to go bring yourself to new audiences, like, you know, you don't go busking in a village normally, you know, you go busking in a city. So we're hoping to drive a bit of interest in it.
Yeah,
you know?
And they'd have a captive audience over the weekend of the festival as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then also, as mentioned as well, we have one lucky busker, it doesn't mean they're the best, but one lucky busker gets an opportunity then to go on stage on Bank Holiday Monday with Andrew Fletcher and Vox Mouse.
Nice one. God, you've had it all planned out.
That's it. Yeah. And my sound, I know I'm blabbing away here now, but my sound engineer, Warren Tivy from Y'all, has kindly offered a recording session in his recording studio. Right. So.
That is not blabbering on, definitely. That would be a lot for one musician. The festival, as we said, is over the Maybank holiday, but there is a deadline for potential buskers and musicians who are interested in performing at the Ballycotton Fat Festival to send a short video. So you want a video, and it's no more than one minute, but you want it by April 19th. So less than two weeks ago.
I was going to say the 16th, but I think it's the 19th. Yeah, you're right.
The 19th. So you can email that to yourself. Is that right, John?
Yeah, so my email address is john.kidney, K-I-D-N-E-Y, at flynncush, FLYNNCUSH.com.
Okay, good stuff. And it's a minute of a video, and then tickets for the Ballycotton.
Whatever people have. I mean, like, I know people, you know, trying to edit things down, and they might be the greatest at it. Whatever people have, just send it on. We'll give it all a good old listen and be fair out, and we'll get back to everyone.
Okay, good stuff. But you don't want like half an hour of stuff, I presume.
No, please, no, God, no.
Setting yourself up there, John. I wouldn't be setting a time limit on that.
Cheers, appreciate it.
And the tickets for the Ballycotton Fat Fest are available now. It's all on the website. It's seachurch.ie, and that's over the Maybank holiday weekend. And have a look at seachurch.ie as well, because Ballycotton, I want to say it's a hidden gem, but it's not really hidden anymore, is it, John?
No, it's not. We're hopping.
You're hopping. Yeah, and that's a good thing to hear. And not too far away from the southeast as well, in East Cork. So
it's not far away at all. No, absolutely really not.
That is the Ballycotton Fat Fest in Seachurch and all over Ballycotton over the Maybank holiday weekend. And if you're a busker and you fancy performing down in Ballycotton, well, all the details are up on seachurch.ie, but you can email your video to john.kidney@flynncush.com. John, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for your time.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
Across the southeast, it is Beat 102-103. Okay, a movie inspired by a true story, and one you can watch from the comfort of your home this week on the Sunday Grill, and obviously on Netflix. The Beautiful Game stars Bill Nighy as a coach who brings a soccer team from London to Rome for a homeless World Cup. A familiar face from Love Hate, if you remember that iconic Irish series, is also in this, although he looks nothing like his character in Love Hate. So is this Netflix movie full of depth than storyline, or is it just an own goal for Netflix? Brian's going to join me after we have this clip from A Beautiful Game.
That's him. He's the one I told you about. That had swagger.
Yeah. It really did.
I was a player. Vinnie Walker, legend in the making.
Vinnie was a pro. He's been living in his car for months. He's lost.
We're going to play an international football tournament in Rome.
There'll be players coming from all over the world. This lot are England's best homeless players.
Homeless? I am not homeless.
You thought he was homeless? He's just a bit of a twat.
This competition brings us all together. A second chance to be part of the team.
You represent the potential that sport has to build a better world.
Come to Rome.
I can't.
I think you can.
There you go, that is A Beautiful Game, available now on Netflix. And even though it is inspired by true events, it all seemed just a little bit templated to me. Even a little bit of romance seems to happen in this, which is all a bit three-act structure, is it, Brian?
It is a small bit, but it was done really well. Like, it's one of those things that, like, you're like, okay, there's a big cast, there's the team, there's English team and then there's like all the other teams. So obviously just focus on the English team. It's like, no, by the end of it, you come away feeling like, you know, the Japanese team and some of the American team and some of the South African team. And like, you kind of see all the different things from everyone's kind of point of view of like, I don't know, the, like the different kind of types of homelessness and stuff, etc. So I'd say it was actually a really, really wholesome story. I didn't, like, I remember seeing the trailer there that you just played and a few months ago, I'm thinking, this could be the kind of film I like, to be fair. Like, it's Bill Nighy. I do love Bill Nighy.
I love a bit of Bill Nighy. And that Irish actor that we said at the start is Tom Von Lawler, who played Nidge in Love Hate. So the main character in Love Hate. And there was so much talk during the Love Hate years and afterwards that Tom Von Lawler was going to be almost our next, you know, massive star. And he's kind of been doing a lot of smaller movies recently, hasn't he?
Well, he did do like the Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, which are like two of the biggest movies of all time.
When was that?
2018, 2019?
Yeah, I suppose COVID has been in the way of him as well. I haven't really seen him in a lot.
We also had a feature from Shane Casey, who was Billy in Young Offenders. He's the ref in it. And like, it's weird watching this film and then in the middle of the ref has a big car accident on him. So that was something nice as well. But I don't know, it was just one of those movies that like every 10 minutes you're kind of tearing up a small bit. So
okay, so tell us the main premise of it. Because as we said, it is inspired by true events. There is a homeless World Cup.
Yeah, so it's essentially the kind of point of view of the English team from the like the homeless World Cup and kind of what their circumstances were and how they ended up there. And like the like basically what it is to kind of represent the country at the World Cup. Despite your country not even really representing you, to be fair. But it's just, I think it's nice to just give everyone kind of their thing in the spotlight of what it's mainly supposed to be so that you're kind of, don't forget, like you're worth something kind of a thing. And yeah, it is mainly focused around the English team. And Moonfella in particular, it's mostly about his like struggle with, he's just in a decline, he's been living out of his car for months, and he just can't get back on track. And he's the struggle of what it used to be like an academy player that just didn't make it, you see.
Okay, all right.
So he was nearly with West Ham, but he just didn't make the final cut, and his just life kind of fell apart after that a small bit.
Okay, and then we head to Rome.
Yeah, head to Rome for the tournament itself.
Okay, and is that towards the end of the movie, or do we head there fairly early?
I'm going to say like 20 minutes in. Like,
oh, wow.
It's
okay.
Pretty quick. Like,
yeah.
The majority of the film is set there. Like, so like the lads probably got a nice old holiday out of it as well. But the tournament is the main thing. And it's like the whole, how the team and stuff come together. And it's just one of those classic, it is one of those kind of classic movies of, it's like, it's all about the people kind of thing. And it's like this nice little wholesome thing rather than, oh yeah, it's all about winning and competitiveness and, like they still all always want to win and stuff, but there's always this kind of like nice, like people reach out and help people and in some ways didn't realize how they helped them and stuff. So it's just one of those wholesome watches on Netflix. If you want something different and you want something with soccer that actually has kind of like realistic gameplay. Do you know, sometimes you watch a soccer match in a film and it just is like, these are actors that have never played a game of soccer in their life.
Yeah.
But I do feel like they were playing soccer when they were there. So that was a big thumbs up in my book.
Okay, that's a big thumbs up for Brian. Now, what seemed to be a big thumbs down for me when I saw it was when the main character catches the eye of another player from a team and I think, oh no, they're putting romance in this. Am I right in thinking that?
It doesn't go as well as you might think.
I'm okay with that.
It's definitely not a love story. It does involve an apology and a fish being given as an apology. So,
okay,
as all the good love stories go. So you definitely couldn't describe it as a classic.
So any standout moments in this, or is it just something that trucks along that you'd watch on a weekend night from the sofa and Netflix?
Honestly, it's just kind of a collection of small moments, to be fair. Like it's one of those things that's like, there's no like, oh my God, this is the massive revelation, you'll break down. But there's a lot of like, this is actually quite heartbreaking, but at the same time, they're still powering through it kind of thing, like, you know? And it's just, I don't know, there's just some good people out there that are just doing good things for people when they don't have to. That's what kind of the main takeaway for me was, like these people that organize the teams, they don't need to do this, you know? But it means so much to the players that take part in it.
And do we get any backstory from other people like the Bill Nighy's character or Tom Vaughan Lawler's character? Or are they just there to bring the storyline along?
Well, Tom Vaughan Lawler is just literally one of the lads that's homeless. He's just literally one of the lads on the team.
Okay.
Bill Nighy and the main character do have some history, but I don't want to reveal that.
Oh, yes. I think we saw a bit of that in the clip when he knows so much about him. Yeah, okay. All right, let's Black Pudding, a beautiful game, which is available on Netflix as we speak.
Yeah, I'd give it like an 8.5, you know. Okay. I actually really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
It's pretty solid.
A bit of a cop-out with the title, isn't it? Because, you know, we know it as football, as the beautiful game. I'm sure it could have been called something else, couldn't it?
Yeah, there's no real thing to signify that this was the beautiful game. Like, I thought there might be something more, because every game is the beautiful game, but yeah, I got what you mean.
Okay.
I suppose if there's never anything been named it, why not?
Yeah, true. 8.5 Black Puddings out of 10 from Brian, who, as you can hear, is calling us from his Holliers.
Barcelona.
Barcelona. Was this just a spur of the moment decision from you?
No, this one wasn't. This one is a family holiday, so definitely not right. Spur of the moment.
And yet I knew nothing about it, Brian.
Yeah, I kind of forgot to tell you.
Let's leave that to one side. 8.5 Black Puddings out of 10 for the beautiful game. It's available on Netflix now. You will recognise Bill Nighy and Tom Vaughan Lawler. And what was the other name? The guy from from Young Offenders in there as well.
Shane Casey.
Yeah, a real side character in Young Offenders. But he's also a bit of a side character in Young Offenders as well, isn't he? He's not one of the two lads in it. He's the mask.
He's Billy.
He's the mask, isn't he? Billy. Yeah, the mask that they wear all the time. So you'll recognise him as well. Don't need to go to the cinema. It is on Netflix, Brian. Thanks a million. Enjoy.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.